All right, Alexander, we have a story about former U.S. President Barack Obama. And I think this story, once again, proves the point that Obama, in my opinion, was one of the worst U.S. presidents you could have ever had sitting in the Oval Office. In this case, we have this story that there's a Senate investigation, and it found that the Obama administration was funding Al-Qaeda affiliate, knowingly funding Al-Qaeda. While this story is shocking in a way, it isn't shocking in a way because we knew that Obama was very much tied to funding ISIS in Syria and supporting ISIS in Syria. We also know that he was very deeply entrenched in one form or another with the Muslim Brotherhood. I believe he had a lot of connections there. And we also know about what happened in Libya as well, in Benghazi. So, I mean, the Obama administration was doing all kinds of shady stuff in general with these terrorist organizations or these shady organizations in the Middle East. What do you make of this recent story?
I find this an absolutely extraordinary story. Can I just explain to our viewers what this is? This is a revelation that's come out of the Senate Finance Committee, which has been looking at the activities of a non-profit humanitarian agency in the US called World Vision United States, which in 2014, with the approval of the Obama administration, gave funding to an organization called the Islamic Relief Agency. Now, the Islamic Relief Agency was at that time sanctioned by the US government over its ties to terrorism. Now, can I just say, I remember the fact from the time that the Islamic Relief Agency had been sanctioned and that it had been classified by the US authorities as a Al-Qaeda connected organization, almost, if you wish, a Al-Qaeda affiliate. And for people to say that, you know, World Vision was not aware of this, all I could say is, clearly, they weren't reading the newspapers, nor, it seems, was the Obama administration itself, if you're to believe that they didn't know what they were doing. I mean, they must have known what they were doing. Surely they knew what they were doing. It had been sanctioned all the way back, the Islamic Relief Agency, the ISRA, all the way back in 2004. That's, you know, 3 years after 9/11. And they had been passing on funding to an organization called Maktab al-Hidamat, which was a predecessor agency to Al-Qaeda. So, I mean, it's absolutely clear what they were all about. And yet, here we see the Obama administration green-lighting funding being provided to the Islamic Relief Agency, despite it being sanctioned and despite its connections or historic connections to Al-Qaeda. It's an extraordinary story. Now, we have to go back and look at what the Obama administration was up to in the Middle East at that time. People may remember that there were all sorts of things going on. There was the so-called Arab Spring, which brought to power in Egypt a Muslim Brotherhood-led government, upsetting, by the way, the US's traditional Arab allies and upsetting Israel. And, of course, it turned out that the Obama administration was actually quite favorable at that time to the Muslim Brotherhood. It was also supporting, in 2014, a Muslim Brotherhood-led insurrection in Syria against the government there. And it was also looking the other way, I'm being careful what I say, as ISIS gradually emerged. And we had no less a person than the Secretary of State, John Kerry, caught on mic, telling Syrian exiles that the United States had been hoping that ISIS, the rise of ISIS, would put pressure on Assad and would force him into negotiations with the United States, which would result in his exit and his replacement by presumably a Muslim Brotherhood or led government in Syria, but that it all failed because the Assad instead called in the Russians. So you see how the Obama administration was playing this complicated game of geopolitical chess in the Middle East at this time, supporting the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, supporting the Muslim Brotherhood in Syria, looking or quietly supporting various Islamist groups, including Islamist groups affiliated to Al-Qaeda, trying to manipulate ISIS in order to achieve geopolitical objectives in the United States, and was, as it turns out, greenlighting funds provided to sanctioned agencies which were known to have historic connections to Al-Qaeda. It is an absolute nightmare. It's a mess. I remember Donald Trump, when he first became president, talking about how he inherited a mess. And here's the proof. He did.
Yeah, so that brings me to my next question, which is, now that we have more evidence to the fact that Obama, you know, if you say that George Bush set the Middle East on fire with what he did in Iraq, I mean, Obama completely just blew the whole region apart with his actions. I mean, he took Iraq and multiplied it across 3-4 other countries, including not withdrawing from Iraq as well. He didn't even solve that problem. So if you look at what Obama did to the Middle East, and then and now you have an Obama third term personified in Biden and Harris, you have to assume that stories like this are going to become commonplace, and that you're going to have the same types of actions that Obama was doing when he was in his first and second term in his third term now, which is setting the Middle East once again on fire, just blowing the whole region up.
Absolutely. Can I just say, I mean, 2014, of course, is the year before ISIS achieves its great breakthrough. What happened was that the Obama administration inherited a bad situation in the Middle East, and they made it far worse. And they spread the instability to all sorts of places where it had not existed before. You had an increasingly unstable situation in Egypt. You had a collapse of the state in Libya, which involved, let us never forget, military intervention by the United States, Britain, and France. And there's been all this talk about how the Obama administration was reluctant to become involved. But a British parliamentary report, which has not been widely discussed or seen, has cast doubt about that. It has shown that, in fact, Obama himself had a hand in drafting some of the UN resolutions, UN Security Council resolutions, which eventually paved the way for the intervention in Syria, in Libya, something which people didn't know at the time, and many people still don't know now. And of course, you had wars exploding in places like Syria and in places like Yemen. And we also got in both Syria and Iraq, ISIS at the gates of Damascus and at the gates of Baghdad. It's quite an astonishing chaos that the Obama administration presided over. And now what we see is a new Biden administration comes in. All the same people who were involved then are coming back. Well, not all of them, but many of them. John Kerry, whom I mentioned, remember him? The person, as I said, who was talking to Syrian exile leaders about how, you know, they were hoping that ISIS would put pressure on Assad to negotiate and step down. Well, he's now back on the National Security Council in the pending Biden-Kamala Harris administration. General Lloyd Austin, who was the head of Central Command during this period, he's now going to be Secretary of Defense. all of this has been going on. All of these people are coming back. There's no sign that any of them have learned any lessons from this affair. Biden has talked at times under pressure from Donald Trump about the need to end the so-called endless wars. But all the indications are that the same is going to continue. We're going to go back to what was going on before 2016, because the same people who created the mess are coming back. And can I just say, I did a recent program on my own channel about Biden's recent foreign policy speech. And one of the things that really astonished me was that he had absolutely nothing to say about the problem of Islamic terrorism at all. It was as if that problem did not exist, when manifestly and obviously it does. We've just had attacks on a bus in Syria in which Syrian soldiers were killed, and ISIS has claimed responsibility. So it absolutely does exist. And if you start meddling in this region again in the way that was happening before 2016, all of that will come back with a vengeance.
Let's not forget there was also an attack, I believe, in Yemen as well, which was a terrible attack. And we also can't forget it was the Obama years that we saw the mass influx of because of all the wars and all the chaos of refugees, whether they've been stuck in Turkey or whether they were funneled into Europe. We saw that entire mess manifest itself. And, you know, everyone needs to buckle up, because all indications point that this Biden administration, if it gets in, is just going to be everything that Obama did times 10, with people that are 10 times dumber. It's going to be 10 times worse with people that are 10 times dumber.
Absolutely true. Because, of course, I said they're the same people, but of course, they're not quite the same people. They're the B team, if you like. They're the people who are even more anxious to start, you know, all the conflicts in the Middle East. And they didn't have quite the intellectual skill as Obama's people did. And of course, you have a president and a vice president, or a prospective president and vice president, Joe Biden, who, let's face it, I mean, he is not in full control. And a vice president, Kamala Harris, who might take over from him, or most people expect will at some point take over from him, who lacks Obama's authority and experience. So at least Obama was able, up to a certain point, to control the mess he was creating. Biden and Harris will not be. They will not have that degree of restraint, ability to exercise restraint that Obama had. So we're going to have, you know, the weaker, more aggressive, perhaps more cocky team take charge. And we're going to have in the White House two very ineffectual people who are in no position, if you like, to rein in the horses as they gallop towards further wars.
Yeah. Meanwhile, China is going to be watching from the sidelines, and they're going to be just watching this implosion of U.S. empire. Iran's going to definitely be watching with interest as well, and of course, Russia will also be just sitting there, just in Syria engaged. Definitely absolutely engaged in Syria. It'll probably be Russia that will have to, Russia and Iran, that will somewhere along the line face off with this new Biden foreign policy team.
Absolutely. Now, I'm glad you brought up the subject of China, because, of course, one of the reasons why China was able to become so strong is because throughout the 2000s, right up to Trump's election, the United States was completely absorbed in trying to, rearrange the Middle East, create, if you like, the new Middle East that people like Condoleezza Rice and people in the Obama administration were talking about. And the result was that the United States took its eye off the East Asian ball. It didn't understand or didn't have time or energy to really focus on the rise of China because it was absorbed trying to control what was going on in places like, you know, Basra and, you know, Tripoli and Benghazi and wherever. So it lost sight of the big picture. And the Chinese took advantage of this. They built up their economy. They built up, which is, you know, not surprising. I mean, no criticism of the Chinese, but that's what they did. They took advantage of the fact that the United States was absorbed in these other, arguably peripheral matters to increase their own power. And of course, the Europeans became, as you correctly say, exposed because they had to handle all these refugee flows that all these wars were creating. Partly, by the way, because of the collapse of governments like the Libyan government, which had been up to then restraining the movement of refugees. And of course, the Russians did become drawn in, creating the problems for a super, you know, the risks of a superpower clash. Now, can I just say on that, I can very well remember how in October 2016, there was an absolute, we got very, very close, much closer than people know, to a situation where the US military and the Russian military in Syria nearly came very close to a face-off, a direct face-off against each other. The reason it didn't happen is that Obama himself, despite urging some people, pulled back. He didn't want to take the Russians on in Syria. This bunch that are now taking over look like they might be different. And the Russians are far more entrenched in Syria now than they were in 2016. They've had 4 years to consolidate their position there. They have far more advanced surface-to-air missile systems there. They've got electronic warfare systems there. The Russian Air Force in Syria has been beefed up. So taking the Russians head-on in Syria, extremely unwise thing to do. But these guys who are now taking over look as if they might be up for it. So, you know, we're in for a very, very rough ride. And the Chinese are watching and waiting and will no doubt be saying to themselves, this is going exactly as we want.
All right. Well, we're in for an interesting start to 2021. All right, Alexander Beckers, thank you very much. Guys, click on that like button. Please click that like so this video can get the momentum it needs to reach people. Also, if you like this video, click on that subscribe button. Also, subscribe to us on BitChute, on Odyssey, and on Rumble. We are on those platforms. And BitChute is really growing. And check it out, guys. It's really coming along. I'm spending a lot of time on BitChute, actually, watching all kinds of videos. Pretty cool. And also go to the Durant Shop, pick up some merchandise. That helps us out a lot. PayPal, Patreon, subscribe, star, and Bitcoin donations. You'll find the link down below. Look for Alexander's newly launched channel. You'll find a link for that in the description down below as well. So subscribe to that. Check out my channel as well, which has been around for a little while. Subscribe to that as well. And Alexander.
Yes, indeed. Do please come and look at our other channels. We approach things slightly differently in those channels, but we cover lots of news and we're adding to our content. So we're producing lots of content at the moment. If you look, you can find just below this program, this video, the links to our two new channels. And please, as Alex said, find us on our other platforms. Support us there too. Support us by coming to our shop where you can buy great merchandise like our famous magic mugs, our great t-shirts, long sleeved, short sleeved, our sweatshirts, our hoodies, our hats, and also support us by coming and supporting us on Subscribestar, PayPal, and Patreon. So find us, enjoy our new content. Enjoy our new channels and buy the great things you will find in our shop.
All right, Alexander Mercurius, thank you very much. Till next time, everybody, take care.